tend to have the best products, but they have much better customer service. Just make sure the bank you're dealing with has signed up to abide by the Financial Services Authority's regulations. Finally, I think there is one other benefit of getting finance from a bank. You build up a reputation with them, and at some point in your career you will need the banks. You might lose an order, have a client go under, or any other number of disasters that can cripple even established businesses, and when that happens, your good standing with your bank might be what keeps you afloat. The better your relationship with the banks, the better the interest rates they will offer you. When I invested in Igloo, the refrigerated logistics company, on Dragon's Den, one of the first things I was able to do for them was broker a better deal with their asset lender. Overnight, the founders had several thousand pounds a month being invested in their company, rather than inflating their lender's profits. Other sources of lending. Friends and family. Needless to say, borrowing from friends can be fraught with misunderstandings and unrealistic expectations. Therefore, you have to lay some ground rules. 1. Establish whether you're taking a loan or whether they see their money as an investment in return for equity in your company. 2. Agree a fair interest rate and decide if the loan is to be repaid monthly or in full at some specified future date. 3. Never accept money that they can't afford to lose. It can cripple your decision-making. Don't ask anyone to gamble their house or pension on your venture, no matter how sure you are about it. 4. Agree whether or not their money gives them any say in the way in which you run your company. Personally, I wouldn't give them any. 5. You have to be sure they have accepted that they're taking a risk. If the company goes bust and their money is lost, they should not have any right to seek compensation from you. Credit cards. When I built my first nursing home, I couldn't get a loan to cover the building costs, so for months I juggled my builder's bills with various credit cards. If you choose this route, you need to be very sure how you will pay off the debt, because if you don't, the high credit card interest rates will soon see you in real trouble. That said, credit cards have obvious advantages for a new business with cash flow issues. You can buy something on the 1st of February and won't get your bill until the end of the month. You probably then get another fortnight to pay the bill, and if you pay it off in full, then it won't cost you anything. Many credit card companies offer interest-free introductory periods, and if you're good at managing your money, then this is an extremely good way of borrowing. However, if you're not on top of when the introductory rate expires, you're lumbered with hefty charges. I have one rule about credit cards. Use credit cards, but don't let them use you. Grants. If your business has an ethical purpose, then you might be eligible for a grant. And the beauty of some grants is that, unlike loans, they don't have to be repaid. Start with a BusinessLink website at www.businesslink.gov.uk, where there is a searchable database of sources of grants. Business angels. An angel investor is typically a self-made entrepreneur who invests their cash and expertise in new companies with the intention of getting a good return. All of the dragons are business angels, and it won't surprise you to hear that I think angel investment is a great idea. If you're going to look for investment in your business, then the first thing you need to understand is the risk-reward ratio. The banks hardly take any risk, and they're happy if they make a couple of percent on their loan. Business angels take a much bigger risk, and therefore they look for a much bigger reward, usually around 20 to 25% of the amount they invest. An angel will typically invest between £50,000 and £250,000 in a new business, but as well as their money, you get the angel's contacts, expertise, and guidance as part of the package. Often an angel will take on, officially or unofficially, the role of chairman to the founder's chief executive. If your angel has experience of the sector in which your business operates, so much the better. However, there are two potential downsides to angel investment for budding entrepreneurs. The first is that some angels can't resist getting overly involved. The second is that angels often ask for quite a large slice of your company, and this is one of the reasons why so many people have left Dragon's Den without investment. The five of us have been willing to invest, but at a level that's been unacceptable to the entrepreneur. The equity equation. Angels ask for a meaningful equity stake in new businesses for three reasons. Firstly, it represents the size of the risk they're taking by putting in their own money without any security in return. Secondly, angels often get involved at a fairly early stage of a business, and this makes their investment all the riskier. Thirdly, angels know that with them on board, the venture is far more likely to succeed, so the relatively high percentage also represents the value they add to a company. I honestly believe that first-time entrepreneurs should not be too concerned about the percentage they give away to attract investment. I completely understand that you don't want a stranger muscling in on your idea, your baby, but being stingy with the equity you can give away can actually hinder your progress. Let's say your company is worth £100, and you own 100% of it. The value of £100 represents your idea, your time and your effort, what's sometimes called sweat equity because you had to work so hard to get it. You approach an angel for an investment of £80, which would give your business a new valuation of £180, and in exchange the angel seeks 40% of your business. This would mean your 60% is worth £108, which is more than the value of your company without the angel's investment, and you get the angel's experience and expertise too. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com, owns less than 25% of the company he started at the beginning of the dot-com boom. He gave away equity in Amazon at several different rounds of investment so that he could grow his business. He now owns a quarter of a multi-billion dollar company, rather than 100% of something everyone's forgotten about. I sometimes think about what might have happened to the people behind Baby Dream Machine if they'd been prepared to negotiate on equity. They were the very first people to appear on Dragon's Den, and several of us were prepared to invest in their invention that rocked babies to sleep. They thought we wanted too much equity, and left the den with nothing. They came back in the second series, and although there were lots of reasons why they left without investment for the second time, the major reason was that in the intervening year, a rival was launched. Baby Dream Machine missed it.